بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. This is Mamdouh Muhammad greeting his audience by the best greeting, which is Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My topic today starts with a question. What is the most destructive disease? Is it cancer? Is it HIV? Is it another disease? When you ask people this question, most of them might focus on these physical diseases that human beings suffer from. It is true that some of them are so destructive, plague, cancer, HIV, and others. However, all of these diseases might, in the worst scenario, end with the death of a human being, which is something that is natural because all human beings will face death one day or the other. However, the real destructive disease is the disease that destroys human beings in this dunya and destroys or lead to their destruction on the day of judgment in later life. So they lose this dunya and they lose later life. This type of disease is more important than physical disease, and my focus today will be on the most destructive disease. The definition of it, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it very accurately, and we'll see some examples, we'll take some examples across history of those types of people who had this disease. And then we'll move to analyze their qualities and the common qualities of those people who suffer from this disease. And finally, we will work on the cure of this destructive disease. To the best of our knowledge, the most destructive disease is a disease called Al-Kibr. Al-Kibr, which is can be translated into English as arrogance, is a disease that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined it by these simple words: Al-kibru batarul haqqi wa ghamtun nasi, which means Al-kibru, arrogance, is the rejection of the truth, and ghamtun nasi, degrading or underestimating or despising people. When we talk about the truth in this context, we talk about the greatest or the ultimate truth in this world, which is the truth of La ilaha illallah. There's no deity except Almighty Allah. Let me briefly talk about how this disease was the cause of the first crime that took place in this universe, to the best of our knowledge. When Almighty Allah asked Iblis, asked the Satan, to prostrate and bow to Adam, he arrogantly rejected and he arrogantly said, "Should I submit to a creature that you created out of mud, and you created me out of fire, thinking that fire is better than mud, and forgetting the source of the command that it is from Almighty Allah?" This is the arrogance that we refer to when someone rejects the truth and rejects the commands of Almighty Allah and ignores all the prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for people and follows his own whims and desires because of this disease, the disease of arrogance, Al-Kibr. Let me go back to history and use some examples. We'll take as early as possible the son of Nuh alayhi salam as an example. The son of Nuh was a young person who experienced a type of power, physical power, or power of some knowledge, Because usually young people feel that they are more powerful than others, either physically or mentally. And his father, the messenger of Allah, was commanded by Allah to build an ark, to build a big ship, and to take his followers with him. And the father went to his son and asked him, "Oh, my beloved son, come with us. Ya bunayyar kam ma'ana. Come with us, take a ride in this ark. Because the rain will come and the flood will cover everything." The child, the son of Nuh, was in doubt, had some doubts in the promise, in the words of his father, and in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't believe that the rain and or the flood will cover everything, because he took his previous knowledge as the only frame of reference. He thought that because he experienced not such a thing in the world that took place, that the flood covered everything, so he didn't take the words of his father as a messenger of Allah. And he forgot that these words and these commands are from Allah. And he was not sure to the degree that he told his father, سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء. I will go to a mountain that will protect me from the flood, from the water. Thinking that the water will not reach mountains, because according to his limited experience, he had never experienced such a thing to take place. The water would reach the level of mountains. And his father was quite sure of the promise and the command of Allah. His father told him, Ya bunayya arkam ma'ana. He said, there will be no protector on that day, neither the mountains nor anything else. The only protector would be Almighty Allah. The child, out of arrogance, didn't take the whole issue seriously, and he disobeyed his father, and he disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the rain came, and the flood covered everything, and the child and all the disobedient people were flooded and drowned. And this is the natural sequence of those people: destruction in this life and destruction on the Day of Judgment because of their arrogance and not accepting the truth from Almighty Allah. Let's take another example, an example of a king. Kings or presidents or leaders usually experience a type of power, power of commanding, power of legislating, power of being followed by other people. And this is a very strong, effective power. It fills the heart of a human being with arrogance when they don't attribute these powers to the Creator, to the Lord of the world. One example was King Nimrud, when he argued with Ibrahim alayhi salam. In an argument, he asked him, "What can your God do?" "I can do anything." When you have lots of powers, you think that you are capable of doing anything in the world. And Ibrahim alayhi salam just stated a very simple thing, very simple truth, fact that can be seen by even naked eyes. He said, Rabbi alladhi yuhyi wa yumit. My Lord is the one who grants life and takes out life. Can you do that? The king, in fact, was trapped. He couldn't do anything. And he thought of a way to defend himself, because this argument was in front of the mob, was in front of the people who witnessed this discussion and this dialogue and this argument. And he said, "I can do that." And he called two people, and he killed one, and he let the other one to be alive. And he said that, "I did it. I grant life, and I take out life." In fact, scholars make very nice comments on this. They say that, in fact, the king was not responding to the challenge of Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he was ridiculing himself and ridiculing his people because he didn't want to be in that critical situation in front of his followers. That's why he behaved in a very strange way that showed his stupidity and his arrogance and his shallow-mindedness. But he didn't want to show that he is weak in front of this challenge. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam understood the mentality and the psychology and the inner self of that king, then he had arrogance in his heart. He gave him another challenge by saying, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْتِي بِالشَّمْسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ فَأْتِ بِهَا مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ. So Allah brings the sun from the east. Would you be able to bring it from the west? When he made this challenge in front of everyone, of course the king could not utter a single word. He was struck dumb. And the only response he did, he had to retaliate. And this is one quality of those arrogant kings and leaders. They usually retaliate when they lose a battle or an argument. They don't want to be weak, to appear as weak persons in front of their mob and their people. So they wanted to retaliate. And they do this almost everywhere in the world. And he asked his followers to throw Ibrahim alayhi salam in fire. And of course, the followers who always blindly obey the leaders, they did that. They carried Ibrahim alayhi salam and threw Ibrahim in the middle of the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the high heavens of the sky, commanded fire to be gentle and breezy on Ibrahim, to be cool and gentle on Ibrahim. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. And he was saved. Another example is an example of Qarun, the wealthiest or the most richest person at his time. This Qarun, and there are many Qaruns at every time, he was given by Allah the ability to change metals into gold. Allah gave him this ability. And whenever he was asked this question, how could you do that? He attributed this to himself. I, with very big capital I, as we always hear from arrogant people here and there, they usually use this big capital I and this big capital we, talking about themselves and boasting themselves to the degree of inflation. They become so boasting and so inflated that they would feel that they are so powerful because of the knowledge that they have. When he said that, I made it myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him by destroying him and by destroying his house and by making this earthquake when the earth split it into two parts and swallowed his house, and he was in the bottom of the earth because of his arrogance. Again, he was destroyed in this dunya, and he will definitely be destroyed in akhirah because he experienced a type of power of knowledge and power of technology. Let's move now, or before that, let me just compare this situation with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever we had some quality that other people didn't have and he was asked about it, he never attributed to himself or to his efforts. He all the time attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grantor, the giver, the one who gives and the one who grants. He usually said, it was given to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a big difference when some people attribute the blessings and the bounties to the one who really grants these bounties to people, and the difference between them and those who attribute things to themselves. Let's take a flagrant example of arrogance. The arrogance of the king of Egypt 5,000 years ago, who was called Fir'aun. He made the same argument with the messenger of Allah, Musa, alayhi salam, Moses alayhi salam. And the argument continued between them. And Moses alayhi salam, when he was asked by Fir'aun, "Where is your Lord?" he pointed to the heaven, to the sky. And the response of Fir'aun, he commanded the leader of his army, he commanded his assistant Haman, and asked him, "Build me a high building, build me a high skyscraper, so that I can climb and I can see where is the God of Moses." And they did respond to him. They built a skyscraper, and he climbed the skyscraper and the high building, and he looked up, and he looked right, and he looked left. And then he finally said, "I saw no God. And because I saw no God, there is no God, and I am your only Lord. Ana rabbukum al-a'la." And this is the worst statement that had ever been made throughout history. He appointed himself as a Lord, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him and destroyed his army, and he will be destroyed on the day of judgment. This is because of the arrogance in his heart. And not only that, he used to despise Moses. "Am ana khayrun min hadha alladhi huwa mahinun wa la yakadu yubin." Am I not better than this ugly, despised person who doesn't even have the ability to express and to articulate the meaning? He was despising Moses alayhi salam, looking down upon him as if he's a tiny, despised creature. And this is the nature of the arrogant people. They think that they are superpower, and other human beings are lowest human beings, and they don't even deserve to live in this earth. And we're talking about whom? About Moses, one of Ulil Azm of the Rusuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's go to recent history and see what the Russians did when they sent their shuttle to the space. They came 50 years ago, or a little bit more, to tell us the same statement of the Pharaoh of Egypt. They said that we went to the outer space and we saw no God. So there is no God. The same mentality of the arrogant Fir'aun, and the same mentality of the arrogant Nimrod, and the same mentality of every arrogant human being. They see themselves very big, and they only see the material things. This type of arrogance is represented in many people, and it will last until the day of judgment. And it takes different forms. One of the common forms now, when you check the radio or the TV, just turn it on and listen to the weather forecasters. When they say, "Mother Nature will give us sun tomorrow. Mother Nature will accumulate snow after tomorrow. Mother Nature will do this and Mother Nature will do this." And in fact, instead of saying, "Almighty Allah, God will give us this and that," they never attribute this to Allah. And because they don't want to submit to Almighty Allah, they don't want to confess that there is God, they created another God. And they call this God Mother Nature, because of the arrogance that they have. They took the qualities of Almighty Allah, and because they don't want to say that there is God in this universe, they attributed these qualities to Mother Nature. And there is nothing called Mother Nature. Who is the creator of Mother Nature? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The creator of nature, the creator of the sun, the creator of the moon, the creator of galaxies. And this is another type of arrogance. And it will continue on and on. Now these are some examples across history. And we have these examples living among us. Let's talk about their qualities. One quality is they like argument. This is one quality of the arrogant people. They like to argue because of their intrinsic nature that they don't want to submit to the truth, which is a very straight, simple truth, so they want to argue to hide their weakness. This is one quality of arrogant people. Second, they experience a type of power. It can be a physical power. It can be a power of technology. It can be a power of knowledge. It can be a power of money. It can be a power of legislation and commanding. Usually those people who experience any type of power, they are subject to this destructive disease of al-kibr. Another quality is that they retaliate against their opponents. When they find themselves in the corner and they cannot argue, they retaliate against them in order to show that they have power. One more quality among those arrogant people is they are very narrow-minded. They think only in the materialistic things. They don't see behind these material things. They only see by their eyes and by their ears and by their senses. Let me give you an example. When we Muslims, the first quality that Allah praised the believer with is the quality of believing in ghaib, the unseen. God is unseen to us. Angels are unseen to us. Messengers even are seen to us. None of us saw Moses alayhi salam, or Muhammad alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam. All of these are unseen to us, but we trust the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take it for granted. So Muslims are more open-minded because they don't think in such a narrow-minded way of materialistic things. Let me give you an example. Before the invention of microscope, nobody would believe that there are 2 million creatures moving on the hands of a human being. But after the invention of microscope, they discovered that it was ghaib for them. But for Muslims, it was not ghaib. Muslims believed that there are thousands and millions of creatures that are created by Allah and we don't see them. So this gives us one quality of those arrogant people, that they are narrow-minded. They think only in the knowledge that they have as the only frame of reference and their own judge. These are some of their qualities. But now, let's move to something more important than this, which is the cure of this disease, the disease of arrogance. First, what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, warning us against this disease. He said, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه ذرة من كبر. There is not a single one who would be permitted to paradise if he has a particle or a grain of arrogance in his heart or in her heart. A grain or a particle of arrogance, kibr. Because when we submit, we should submit totally to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here is the cure of this disease. Complete submission to Almighty Allah. Listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala echoing in the hearts of the believers when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed them. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan. O you those who believed, enter Islam as a whole, accept Islam as a whole package, and do not follow the footsteps of the Satan. The address here is directed towards the believers. So that means even the believers are subject to this disease, this destructive disease, ugly disease that's called kibr and arrogance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to avoid this, accept Islam as a whole package. Don't accept some parts of Islam and reject others. We find some people who would love Islam very much, but they don't accept Islam when we talk about the issue of lihya, of the beard. Some others would accept Islam, but when we talk about the issue of riba, they don't want to hear about that. And other people would accept Islam, but when we talk about polygamy, they don't want to hear that. And this is taking Islam as parts, not as a whole. It's not accepted from us to accept Islam 70% and leave 30%, even 99% and leave 1%. We should accept Islam as a whole. If we accept parts of Islam and leave other parts of Islam under the pressure of our lusts and desires and whims and wishes, we are following the footsteps of the Satan. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us, if you do this, if you do not accept Islam as a whole package, you are following the footsteps of the Satan. Just let me put it very briefly. If this arrogance is one word, which this disease is only one word, which is al-kibr, the cure is also one word, which is Islam. Full submission and complete submission to Almighty Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother, Mamdouh Nuruddin.